And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What's up?
At DFF underscore Madman from 1980-something. And Shane Manila.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight? First of all, I want to thank everyone for joining us. No, that's all I got.
I was like, at DFF underscore Shane, it was a very mellow introduction from Shane. But
I'm on three Xanax.
Why? What's the matter?
You mean besides my normal rage issues? Nothing really.
Hey, I'm the one that's been sick for the last 4 days, but I'm sitting here drinking and ready to talk to you guys.
Yeah, look, I wasn't ready to talk.
All right,
you
well.
You need a burner account on Twitter, dude.
What?
Dynasty Rager. And just every time you think of something, just blurt it out. Oh, never mind. That's like your account now.
I was going to say.
No different than my Twitter account right now.
I was going to say, yeah, he doesn't need a different account to do that. Well, hey, listen, we're all here. We're ready to go. We got a lot to talk about. We got a bunch of trades. We got some current events. We got all this shit going on. So where did you want to start? You want to start with Daryl Bevel?
Well, breaking news. So there has been a hire in the NFL ranks, the Detroit Lions. They went ahead and hired Daryl Bevel. Excuse me, Daryl Bevel. That's very hard to say. It's an interesting hire, because he used to be the OC in Seattle and prior to that Minnesota, and what we saw last year is the Lions moving to a more rushing based attack. However you say that in English, a more run based attack. And it seems like this Daryl Bevel hire is just going to kind of cement that. So I'm expecting giant things from Kerryon Johnson.
Hopefully. I mean, he was comp to Marshawn Lynch coming out, so maybe that speaks well to Bevel's use of Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. I mean, it's encouraging. I know he's a balanced offensive coordinator, using a bunch. You know, he's not set on doing any one thing. I mean, all jokes aside, I'm just saying he's kind of an amalgam of different things. West Coast, and you know, he throws in different packages based on his personnel, which is smart. So hopefully, you know, he continues that in Detroit, so that, you know, if you're catering the offense to the players you have, that's a hell of a lot better than a lot of old school coaches that, you know, want to pick guys that fit their system and then never get anywhere. So that part's encouraging for the use of Kerryon Johnson and just Stafford's stats. I just keep thinking of how Russell Wilson seemed like he was on a leash until like the last drive of a football game. And then finally, okay, Russell, go play football. Like, what about the rest of the game, you know? So that part concerns me, and I know Matt Stafford is not going to be confused for Russell Wilson, but still, like, restraining the offense and kind of holding it back, that's the feeling I got by watching his offenses.
So do you think it's going to hurt Stafford and
Stafford, the wide receiver, Kenny Galladay?
Yeah, Kenny Galladay.
Marvin Jones.
Do you think it's going to hurt Kenny Galladay?
I don't think necessarily so. I wonder if what happened in Seattle where Russell Wilson tore it up, you know, on the last drive of a game is because of the offensive coordinator and the game plan. Like, why would you keep one of the best quarterbacks in the league so conservative all game? You know, let it loose. Try to win the game.
Here's the thing about that, though. They got ultra conservative last year under one of the Schottenheimers. Not Marty.
This last season when they had a shoddy as their coordinator instead of Bevel, who took a year off. Maybe that's good too, but he had a year off to just kind of absorb football and not, you know.
So I was bored because, you know, generally I have no life. So I was just looking up some Daryl Bevel stats. And so outside of 2018, which I'm just going to, well, he didn't coach there, so it didn't matter. But prior to
true.
Last four seasons in Seattle, Doug Baldwin averaged 110 targets a season. So if Galladay can touch at least 110, I think he'll be fine. What I did notice, though, is in most cases, the wide receiver two didn't see a heavy target share. I was looking on Pro Football Reference, and I don't know how to figure out what the target share is on there. But yeah, a lot of the receivers after the wide receiver one looks like they were getting about 60 receptions or so a year. But yeah, I think Galladay is going to be fine. But one thing I did like is looking through his record, he's used running backs in the receiving game. He's used Lynch,
Yes.
and he actually used AP because he's been coaching that long that he coached AP way back in 1946 when he was in Minnesota. And AP had his two highest targeted seasons under Darrell Bevells, which bodes well for Kerryon because he's an excellent receiver. AP had 250 target seasons under him. I'm looking for Kerryon. I'm hoping that number, we're looking at 60 to 70 because he's a, better receiver than AP.
So you think if people out there that are listening that other people don't realize about this signing, you're telling people to go out there and grab Kerryon or try to trade for Kerryon?
Oh yeah,
And
that's a buy.
what about any of the other guys there? Any
No.
I think they're all. I honestly would hold on to all of the Lions fantasy producers. I mean, if anybody's going to give you a great deal on any player, hey, trade the player away. But I'm just saying, I hold all those guys because I don't. I they've been great in the past. I like them all. I think they're fine. I wouldn't necessarily pay a lot for them, but I'm not getting rid of any of the Detroit Lions. But I am going after Kerryon Johnson even more, given what we know now. He's been a buy this whole offseason, end of the season for me. I know Shane likes him a lot too.
Yeah, and I think Kerryon's a buy for everyone anyway.
Yeah.
I don't. This definitely isn't going to hurt it that now that he's got a guy that likes to run the ball more and will use the running back in the receiving game. If people get a little over concerned that Galladay or the other receivers aren't going to see targets and you can get a discount on them,
Right.
definitely try to buy Galladay. I think I'm passing on Marvin Jones, and I don't believe they actually have a tight end on the roster, do they?
Jones is at a position now where like he well he used to be a value. You'd get him in startup drafts at a value and he'd outproduce, you'd profit by getting him. And now I think it's just kind of stagnated where his value has reached the point of like the price point where you probably aren't going to pay that much for him, what he's going for. So he might be someone to look at parting with. And he's not getting any younger. He's still in his prime, but he's one of the older receivers. Galladay, everybody wants him. Kerryon Johnson, everybody wants him. But Stafford is still a hold for me. He can do no wrong. I don't think he's ever thrown an interception that I've seen. Just kidding.
I was gonna say, at this point though, we're in the rush of the beginning of the off season and everything. So everybody's trying to figure out what to do with their picks and everything. How high of a pick would you trade away to get Kerryon Johnson? Are you gonna do the
I mean, he's
1.01?
1-4-5.
What was that?
The one.
I'm just working it out in my head because it's basically draft season, so just reading all the reports on players and players that I like, and it's I 104. 104 is my final offer.
104. Okay.
Do you accept?
Well, I would.
I'm not. I'm
No,
keeping
I.
him for that.
Yeah, I would keep him for the 104 also.
I'll give you the 103. You want the 103 or Kenny Galladay?
Oh, wait. We're talking about Kenny Galladay now instead of Kerryon Johnson?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Kenny Galladay this whole time.
No, he asked what we'd give up for
I
Kerryon
said,
Johnson.
yeah, for
What
Kerryon Johnson,
first
how
round
high
draft
would you
pick
go?
would be worth it to you to
Oh,
give
for
up
Kenny.
Kerryon? Yeah.
I'm going to give up the 103. 103 right now.
Jeremy's like thinking with his face.
You couldn't fault someone for giving up any first round pick for Kerryon Johnson because of the fact that he's instilled in an offense and he's ahead of, rookies coming in. But you're not going to give up the 101 for him more than likely at this point because you don't know what that's going to be yet. So Shane being a little conservative with the 103 even. But I would, definitely trade away, first round picks for Kerryon Johnson if you like the player. There's no guarantees coming out of this draft. you know, with the running backs or receivers. So if you like him, get him. I don't think you're overpaying with the 101, but it's one of those tricky situations right now because we don't know what those players, what we're going to turn the 101, 102, and 103 into, right? All right, well, so I'm hesitant to trade him right now. You okay, just go going off pick value.
Let me attach a name. Let me attach a name to some of the more high-profile rookies. So
okay,
do you take A.J. Brown or Kerryon Johnson? And assuming A.J. Brown lands in a neutral landing spot, not you know, not awful, not too bad, just a decent spot.
Well, based on what you were saying before and the scarcity and hard of getting the running backs, I'd probably go with Kerryon Johnson.
They produced earlier, so the receivers, you're planning on sitting a guy generally for a year or something. So I'm going to go with production now. And thinking of profit, so if getting A.J. Brown for Kerryon Johnson, where I drafted Kerryon Johnson, Brown's going in the top three picks, then I profited if I trade away Kerryon Johnson.
But see,
I'm so reluctant to do so because Johnson's going to produce, you know, now, you know, so last season, this season.
You would not take A.J. Brown for Kerryon Johnson. Is that?
That's not what I'm saying. The mystique of A.J. Brown player for player. You're thinking of A.J. Brown as an NFL asset already. He hasn't even been drafted yet.
See, I'll go back.
I don't know what A.J. Brown's going to be.
I'm going to guess that he's going to be drafted. So that's why I said a landing spot.
But that's what I'm saying. But he said a neutral landing spot. Like for me, it goes back to what I said last week on the show when we talked about it. I'd rather get the guy that's going to produce for me this year, next year, and stuff like that than the maybe possibility, maybe someday something will happen.
Okay, so A.J. Brown lands with the Colts.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What was that?
Hold, apparently my children are killing each other.
I was like, what the hell? We just lost Shane.
Yeah, I'm not saying get trading Kerryon Johnson for what becomes A.J. Brown, or just straight up player for player. Let's say it's a Debbie League and someone's offering you A.J. Brown for Kerryon Johnson. I'm not saying that either side is necessarily right or wrong. You can make a case for either. That's the thing.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, it depends on what you need. Kerryon Johnson's a two-year player at this point. But like you're saying, he's producing. He produced last year. I'm assuming he's going to produce even better this year. Running backs are already, like him, when you become the starter in an offense, are already delivering beyond what rookie wide receivers are doing for maybe even 2 years or more before they're up to that same point, which is why you draft them at the top of, you know, the first round like that. So you can't fault someone for making that trade because context matters a little bit. I'm not saying A.J. Brown is not better than Kerryon Johnson in a vacuum. That's not my point.
No,
but value is value. Profit is profit. And it fluctuates.
Absolutely. And I think what I was more going for is when you're talking about right now, people are trying to figure out what to do right now. They've got picks. They're going for players. People are trying to make as many moves as they can. And a lot of people want to try to do something as early as possible. They want
to try. Well, Shane's using us as a barometer to see if making a move like that is sensible to do. It is. It doesn't matter. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. Take the guy you like better, I guess.
And that's the point right now. I mean, right now there are people out there that are trying to make every move that they can to try to get ahead before something else happens. And then there's also a lot of people that aren't very thrilled with this draft class anyways. So they want to move on. They want to get something else. They want to try to do something else. And for me, at this point, the way you were talking before, I just thought that would be better. And that's why I asked what you guys thought. It is kind of funny because there was a trade offer that was on Twitter today that people were talking about. And I know it's a different type of player and everything, but somebody asked, which would you rather have, Alvin Kamara or the 1.01 and the 1.02?
No, I'd have to look at my roster. I'd have to look if I'm a contender this year, I guess, or next. No, I'm taking.
Yeah, context matters. It depends on what your team's, the situation of your fantasy teams, your dynasty teams. It depends on other factors. Now, the thing is, I'll give you the 101 and 102 in this class for Alvin Kamara right now.
I would, too.
Alvin Kamara. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's the thing. I know that context matters, but all these trades that we're talking about right now, it's what people are asking us. If we're going to go into every little minute detail of every single trade, it'll be impossible. Exactly. So,
well, I mean, one way around that, though, is if you're a patron, make sure you shoot us an email question more people know it in depth. Like we're going to do in the patron episode after this show. We got a new patron. He sent us a good trade question. And we're going to dig into that son of a bitch, something fierce, like, you know, to beat that son of a bitch to death.
Absolutely. We also have a trade from Larry Monkey from the Listener League in the Patreon that he wants to talk about. Well, just to let you know with that Kamara thing, there's 350 votes and it's 80% Kamara. So
yeah, it should be. I mean, after I thought about it for more than a second, that's the same way I went out. But there was another hire.
I know. Yeah. So we'll move on to the other hire. Go ahead, in Tennessee.
So Arthur Smith, who was allegedly the former tight end coach in Tennessee, is now their offensive coordinator.
Allegedly? Wasn't he definitely?
Yeah, he was. That's
so
what he
the first thing I do when a coach is hired is I go look on Pro Football Reference because I want to see coaching stats, where they coached, etc. He doesn't exist.
Oh, he's not on there. That's why you said allegedly?
In the Roto World blurb, there was no picture.
So how long was he the tight end coach?
Arthur Smith.
He's been there a while for years, like, I don't know, 2014 maybe. He's been there for a while.
I got to be honest with you. I think he's in the witness protection program.
Yeah.
Where he's statue. He's on something called ProFootballHistory.com, but I've also never heard of that website before yesterday. So it's all very suspect. I don't think he's a real person.
Suspect.
Well, he's definitely a real person, but if you don't know anything about him and you can't find out anything about him, how are you going to make any decisions about Corey Davis and Derrick Henry and all that stuff?
I think it's a good sign that they hired from within like that, that he's been there, that players wanted him, that Vrabel wanted to keep him. The reason I say that is because poor Marcus Mariota has had four offensive coordinators, different people in 5 years, and this at least lets them build on the continuity that they were trying to get last season before LaFleur left, you know, right after one season. They have the ability to keep the same things in place offensively for the most part and, you know, keep Mariota in the same offense, keep that entire team together with the same scheme, the same, you know, verbiage, all of it. That zone blocking that they moved to with Derrick Henry that started really letting it up toward the latter quarter of the season. I just think it's good for the offensive players to maintain that continuity. We've talked about that before, how changing the coaches from year to year affects your fantasy teams. Like the Browns players were garbage for so long. That team never built a business plan, a business model that worked for forever. They kept changing things and getting rid of good players and taking on bad ones. And I think this is a chance for the Titans to take the next step with their offense next year. That's my opinion anyways. I don't see how it would be a bad thing for the players.
I can't say it's a bad thing because I don't know anything about the guy. I can't find anything.
I was looking on the bright side.
I do not know who he is. But yes, it is nice that for the first time in Mariota's professional career, he will see someone at least on the offensive side of the ball that he saw, you know, in the coaching room that he saw the year prior.
Because they
have shit canned or lost every offensive coordinator. It's incredible.
And this guy, you know, wasn't just a microcosm that he only coached the tight ends. I mean, that was his responsibility, but he had to be present for, you know, the running game, the offensive plan from one team to the next to, you know, face a different defense. I mean, he was highly involved with a lot of that stuff for LaFleur, and apparently LaFleur wanted to take him to Green Bay with him, and the Titans were just not going to let that happen. They wanted to have that continuity there and keep him. And I think, you know, based on what I read about him, that it's a good sign for at least Mariota to keep the same kind of thing in place. We'll
it's
see.
It's funny that Shane says he can't find him anywhere, and you're sitting here saying all this information about him. So it's pretty interesting.
But no, I just looked into some things with him on LaFleur's staff and some of the comments that were made about him from Vrabel and you know, the Green Bay staff that's there under LaFleur. And what we know about him, hell, I mean, maybe this guy's partly responsible for Delanie Walker being so good for so long. And I know he's better than the other tight ends there. They didn't have tremendous success this past season, but they all did something. Jonnu Smith's coming along, and the guy that cut into his, what is it, Luke Stocker, that cut into everybody's action, Derrick Henry's touchdowns. I mean, he's had some success there with Delanie Walker.
Well, yeah, but Delanie Walker's probably one of the what top five tight ends in our generation. Jonnu Smith had a, to me, a very disappointing year after Delanie Walker
Yeah,
went down.
it's
Only
not
five
the greatest example, I
points.
admit, when I went there, but you know, I mean, the fact that he's been talked so highly of by the staff there and the players, and yeah, Walker's not a great example. The guy's about ready to file for AARP and his special senior discount, but
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I don't hold anything against anyone on the offensive side of the coaching, not even LaFleur, the more I looked at it, because just when you don't have a quarterback that can feel his throwing hand, it's going to hamper you. And honestly,
it's true, man.
what's sad about
He
that
says
is
that every
I
time, but
was
it's
just,
basically
Jeremy,
what
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that it could be like a drinking game where every episode there's some time when he says that about his.
Well,
I
here's the
can't throw it,
thing.
coach.
He
I
can't
can't
feel
even
the
feel
hand, and they're still like, no, you're better than sending Blaine Gabbert out there as much as they could. You know what I mean?
Oh my
So,
God. Well, you know what?
I
Listen,
want Mariota out there dead before
listen,
Blaine Gabbert.
Arthur Smith, if you're a real person, you know, give us a call in and we'll have you on the show.
Oh, that would be sweet. There are still two head coaching jobs available, and there are coaches that are still going to be coaching in the Super Bowl. But,
Zach Taylor and Brian Flores.
right. So, hey, well, let's hear from gtbets.eu so people can go bet on the Super Bowl.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. gtbets.eu, it's game time.
Yeah, gambling. There's been scientific studies that show that gambling is actually good for your heart. So it increases your heart rate. Just kind of out of nowhere, which I've heard is good for your heart, right? Because it gives it that good workout.
Oh yeah, sure. Did you bet on any of these games that went on this past weekend?
Oh it didn't go well. I took the Chiefs. I took the Chiefs, the points. I took the money line. I don't even know what the money line is. I just everything. I was like, yep. This is the year for Andy.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, but terrific, that scumbag. He wouldn't die, man. He kept, oh, you guys took the lead. Well, let me just drive my team right down your f-ing throat, and we're gonna score a touchdown. And oh, wait, you just scored again. Oh, don't worry, I'll do it again. And now I'm gonna win it in overtime, and you never touched the ball, scumbag. So.
Yeah, you know, the Twitter and the internet and everything's blowing up about all the, I mean, that stupid non-call, and then about the fact that a team in a playoff game going into the Super Bowl doesn't even get a chance to touch the ball in overtime. I mean, there's so many different rules that people want to change, and, you know.
I will say this though, someone brought up a good point on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was because I don't know. Whatever, they weren't that important, I guess. But they brought up the point that the only reason we even give a shit about the overtime rule is because the Patriots won. Because every, you
Yeah, I
know,
saw
that's the
that. Yeah,
truth.
it's true. I thought of
Yeah,
that.
if it was the Chiefs, we would have been like, that's fine, because everyone hates the Patriots except for people from New England.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw
Pretty
something
much.
on Twitter where it said that the Rams got 900 million fans for the next 2 weeks
Yeah.
because everybody wants to see the Patriots lose. You know,
Exactly. Here's
I
the problem
do.
with that, right? So if the Patriots win, then basically, you know, that's basically like the devil winning again. You know what I mean? That's what they are. They are Satan incarnate. So you can't root for them unless you're soulless or from New England, which I don't think are mutually exclusive. Except for our
God.
buddies, Zach and Kyle. We love them from the Dynasty Dummies. Great guys. But the rest of that area. But do I really want to root for Sean McVay? Because
Yes.
then.
No, but I do think that yes, it is a good time to root for the LA Rams. I mean, look, I'm from South Florida, Miami Dolphins, whatever. I hate the Patriots, but I do agree that we're watching like the greatest coach, the greatest quarterback. It's amazing that we're seeing all this stuff happen. I would love for them to lose. Nobody thought that the Eagles had a chance. They won. Nobody thought the Giants had a chance either time, and they both won the two times. So, you know, the Rams could come out there and win, and it would be a very happy day. All these people that say, oh, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl because the Patriots are in it, that's dumb. Just watch the Super Bowl, you know?
They're not, because every Super Bowl breaks a record, so
it doesn't affect fantasy. One funny thing that occurs to me is that, you know, about that team, and you know, Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach. I mean, he gets that team coached up. Doesn't matter if guys are half alive or whatever. Offensive line doesn't give up anything. It's truly amazing. And I have, you know, Gronk and Brady and Edelman on a lot of fantasy teams. I'm fine with that part of it. I just hate seeing the same teams all the time.
Yeah, that is the weird thing.
I really don't like seeing the same teams in any sport over and over, win, especially in professional sports. You're trying to watch something for entertainment. I can't say it's not entertaining. But what really cracks me up, all the people we know up in New England aside, think about how big of an area that team has to have a fan base. It's like having the Midwestern Browns, the whole Midwest. New England, it's like every state on the upper northeast coast and some inland. Those are the fans. They don't have a city big enough or a state big enough to support it's the whole f-ing northeastern country.
That's what I don't like. New England isn't on a f-ing map.
Well, the other thing, too, is you've got all
50
the
states.
New England?
You also. You also have a team that wins every time, so you're going to have all these bandwagon people like, oh, I'm going to be on a team that I'm going to root for a team that wins all the time. So they have fans everywhere.
Calling it America's team makes a lot of sense because it takes up about 47 of the states.
Again, not fantasy related.
I know, but whatever. It's fun to talk about.
I mean, technically, the Cowboys shouldn't even have the claim to America's team.
No, that's
technically really should be the Patriots.
They have
what, 5 Super Bowl wins?
Yeah, the Cowboys thing is bullshit.
The Steelers have 6.
Team thing goes back when the Patriots were dog shit, though, in the NFL, when they were terrible.
It is pretty funny. It is pretty funny. I saw that thing about Brady yesterday that said that he now is going into his 9th Super Bowl, and that's more than any other NFL team in the entire NFL. It's like, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, when we talk about fantasy...
Brady, though.
What? What'd you say?
What'd he say?
He's only 5-3.
Well, hey, listen. But, you know, when we talk about fantasy related, we do have some fantasy related stuff because we always have to bring up rotosurance.com. And there was some fantasy related stuff that happened during these games with rotosurance.com.
Well, again, you want to go on rotosurance as soon as your startup's done. And what's that website, Michael?
It's rotosurance.com. rotosurance.com.
All right, so as soon as your startup's done, you want to go on there and you want to go get 20% off your player insurance using the code DynastyTradesHQ. All caps, like you're yelling it at your mom. Why you would yell that at your mom, I have no idea. That's really rude. Shouldn't yell at your mother. But DynastyTradesHQ, all caps. This made me think of a friend of ours, friend of the show. He's not a friend of ours. We don't know him. He's not a friend of the show either. He's just a player that I love pretty much for no reason.
But wait, don't say his name. Don't say his name. Because it is so amazing that every time we talk about RotoSurance, we always talk about this guy, and he isn't even hurt, and he's really doing okay. So go ahead. Now say his name.
And here's the thing. He actually wouldn't have qualified because he played he had to miss 9 games. And he played 9 games at least. So I'm not good with math, but 9 + 9 would be like 18. So he played at least 9 games. But Samuel Watkins on 8 targets, 114 yards. Now, this is a week after he dropped 6 for 62 on 8 targets. He is the wide receiver 1 in Kansas City, and I'm all in again, and I'm going to get burned next year, and I already know.
You know what is funny,
he's
though?
He's a spurned lover, but he's back every time. Sammy, he always goes back to Sammy. It's his favorite girl.
And didn't he catch a pass in the end zone or whatever, and then he got up limping out of the on the sideline, and then we were like, oh,
leaves
great.
Leaves all on the field, Mike.
But no, I love him too, man. I love him too.
He's still young, is what I'm saying. He's still only, what, like 25 years old. I don't even think he's 26 yet. And he showed what he could do on the field when he's actually on the field.
Hey man, I think he's in the best spot he could be in for a quarterback to make him a successful story in fantasy with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, are you kidding? That guy could probably make anybody, and I'm not saying that to discount what Sammy Watkins could become, but Watkins has everything that you need in a wide receiver. We saw it when he was in college, when he came out, everybody's excited. I'm just waiting for that guy to take off, and really, that's the best quarterback for him, I think.
Yeah.
All right, we might as well talk about it. So, rookie draft season.
Yes.
What pick are you giving up for Sammy Watkins? Obviously, we'd give up anything 110 and later, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, definitely higher than the 110. I would. Oh, Jeremy's thinking, though.
No, I'm thinking about where it'd have to be. I mean, if I'm late in the draft and guys that I really like are gone, I'll trade a lower pick like that to Sammy Watkins. I mean,
you're not drafting right now.
Okay,
right now.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point.
You were talking about A.J. Brown earlier, and I'm not sure he's even the best receiver on his college football team. I haven't sorted that out yet for myself. But, yeah, I mean, you trade in a late first-round pick for Sammy Watkins. I don't see a problem with that. You have at least a player who's starting wide receiver in the NFL, for crying out loud. A lot of 110s aren't.
1-7. I'm offering you the 1-7, Jeremy.
For right Sammy now. Watkins?
Yes.
I'll give you the 1-6. Oh, I was going to give you the 1-6.
Okay, you can have Sammy for the 1-6.
Oh, you will give me the 1-6 for Sammy.
Yeah, I'll give you the 1-6 for him.
Okay, I think I'm going to – would you give me the
1-6? I thought Shane was giving me the 1-7 for Sammy.
Wait a second. Wait.
I'm very confused. Michael, would you trade the 105 for Sammy Watkins?
Well, wait. In the listener league, do you have Sammy Watkins?
No, I do not.
Because the next thing we were going to discuss was some trade offers that you sent me in the listener league where I have the 107. So that's why I was just going to ask you if you had Sammy Watkins. But in the listener league, there was a debate that went on this weekend because you started sending out offers to everybody in the league. And
yes, I did. I made a trade or two.
You did make a trade or two, but you didn't trade Antonio Brown.
I did not.
And Antonio Brown was the piece that sparked the conversation that happened in the listener league with you.
I mean, you want to call it a conversation. It was me spitting factual knowledge in your direction and you basically speaking gibberish.
Okay, first of all, what you did was you sent me an offer that I didn't accept. I sent you a counter offer and then you started bashing me in the group chat. So then I turned around and started going after you.
Nothing you said is untrue and these are all part of trading techniques.
So your trading technique was to bash me.
I was trying to shame you.
Yeah, and it didn't work because I just started going back at you. And then that's...
What were your offers? Because I didn't even put your ridiculous shit offers in there. It was like...
First of all, wait. You did. No. You did. Okay. First of all...
You offered me Traquan Smith in a third rounder.
No, I did not. You offered me Antonio Brown for Darius Geis and the 107.
Very reasonable offer.
No, it's not. And see, Jeremy says no, it's not too. And so did everybody else, by the way.
I'm not saying it's unreasonable. I would never do that. I would not make that trade. Okay. Geis and 107 for AB. I wouldn't take that for AB is what I'm saying.
So then what I countered him was I countered him. There was somebody else before the Traquan Smith one. That was the second one. But I countered your Traquan Smith and the 110. I didn't counter you a third round pick.
But you did. You did offer me Traquan Smith.
And the 110.
Yes,
but that wasn't the first trade offer. There was a second one before. There was a first one before that. I'm pulling it up right now. Worse. No.
You worked your way up to Traquan Smith in a 110. So
no, I went backwards. I went backwards because the only reason I sent him was because you threw me under the bus in the group thing saying, "Oh,
did you get mad at him for that?"
Yeah. So I went back. I wasn't mad, but I mean, I went back at him. But. Whatever. There's
so
a lot.
This is what you guys are talking about. Okay, Antonio Brown for Darius Geis and the 110, and then he upped it to Darius Geis and the 107.
Those were my offers to him, and he insinuated.
Okay. First of all, wait. Hold on. Ridiculous. Okay. Good. Good. The good thing is I can edit you, so I could cut you out.
I thought that was uncalled for.
This was not what happened at all. He said.
No, it was But I said, hey, Michael Sipes, I have a good offer for you, and I think we can work something out.
Oh, my God. First of all, Twitter doesn't erase anything, so I can sit here and read it right here. But what you did, Jeremy, this is what he did. He sent me AB for Darius Geis in the 107. I declined it. Then he sent me AB for Stephon Diggs and the 107. And then I declined it. That was it. So then in the group chat, somebody said something about trading, and then he was talking about, well, I've been making reasonable offers for AB. So then I sent him a counteroffer. I can't remember now what it was, and I can't pull it up because my computer's not pulling up. But I do remember the second time was Traquan Smith in the 110. So then he said some shit about people sending me a wide receiver 3 and a late first round pick. So all I said to him was, at this point right now, with AB being the douchebag that he is right now and doing all the shit that he's doing, and that he's not going to be on the Steelers this year, and who knows where he's going to be and all that kind of crap, I didn't want to trade what he was asking me for. Shane's yawning. But the other thing about it is, in this league, which is a 16-team league, and you have to start two running backs, I only have one running back, which is Todd Gurley, so I need Darius Geis. And Shane can make
as good as two running backs.
Well, but he can't be in two spots.
Honestly, I'll tell you, I do. I'm a big Darius Geis fan. I think we can expect great things from him. I don't think somebody offering you Antonio Brown for Geis in the 107 is a terrible offer. I don't think it's unreasonable.
I didn't say it was. I just declined it.
Whatever side you go with, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think that could be pretty balanced, but that's given the situation we have on Antonio Brown, right? That sets that back a little bit. But the thing is, even before that, even if things were going great for Antonio Brown, he's going to be 31 before the next season, right? You know he's on at least the – he's great, but he's on the downturn. I'm definitely taking digs in the, 107.
Me too.
Antonio Brown.
And I wasn't saying anything. I didn't give him any shit about it or anything. And then he started.
He might be glad he kept Antonio Brown.
He might
going
be.
Into the season, for the next season at least, depending on how that shakes out, he might be glad he didn't trade for those other two assets. He might want to hold on to him for a while.
And look, listen, I love Antonio Brown. He helped me win two of my championships this year. He was awesome.
Yeah.
It's just in that league, I didn't want to do the trade that he had offered, so he was like going after me, so I went after him. But Shane,
I just mentioned someone offered me a late first rounder and a wide receiver 4. That's all.
Right.
He's a wide receiver 1 last year, dude. Come on.
No, he's talking about the Traquan Smith. No, he offered me Stephon Diggs. I mean, he tried to get Stephon Diggs and the 107 from me.
Which was a wide receiver 1.
And listen, I get it. I get that AB is great, and I could be completely wrong, and maybe I should have done it, but I was not going to do the Darius Geis thing. In this league, part of the reason that I got screwed was I had traded away Chris Carson in week like 3 or whatever. So you need to have two starting running backs. So I wanted to keep Geis. That was the whole point.
Your final offer back to Shane was what?
I don't even remember because all he didn't put it. He didn't put it on the show sheet. He only put his two offers to me. So I don't know. And my internet's not fucking working, so I can't pull it up. So I'm not sure.
This is all very suspect. It was Traquan Smith and a first this year, which was the 110, and a second.
Is that what it was? Yeah, so I gave you a first and a second and Traquan Smith for AB is what my offer was. But I didn't want to do it anyways. I threw it at him because he had said that about this. So the point...
Sorry, go ahead.
I hope that AB is awesome. I hope that because I liked him before, but he's a real dick right now, and you don't know what's going to happen with him. You don't know what team he's going to go to. You don't know anything about anything. He could be doing YouTube videos, doing push-ups next season. We don't know. So, and the fact that Jeremy pointed out that he was on that singing show 9 weeks ago when he should be caring about his team. You know, he's a dick. So whatever.
You're right. He should definitely never leave the stadium. He should just sit in the locker room and wait.
It would be one thing if he, oh God, you take it all out of context, but whatever, who gives a shit? So,
all right, well, I'm with that anyway.
Yes. So the other trade you have on here, you have something.
No, I got to set this up, man.
I was going to say it's a what the f*** trade, but go ahead.
So this isn't even a trash dynasty trade offer, and
no,
it wasn't offered to me. But I do need to give it a little background after the trade. This is a what the f- trade in one of my leagues,
and this actually happened. Somebody did this trade.
This happened in real life, IRL.
Was that what that means? Nice.
Yes, yes.
You didn't know what IRL means?
I don't know. I don't know all the abbreviations, the acronyms out there.
So side A was Derrick Henry, Tyler Boyd, and James Washington. Side B was Day-Day Westbrook. Wait for it. Wait for it. Alvin Kamara.
Listen, I don't understand. Was this, is it a contract league? Is it a, no? It's just a, it's a, it's a keep a person forever league?
It's an FFPC league, so it's 16-man keeper. So I'm assuming you're going to keep Alvin Kamara until, you know, he can't play anymore, which is probably at least another half decade.
All right. The if you're saying that it's a 16-team keeper league, the only explanation I can see at all is maybe this guy who had Alvin Kamara had nobody else on his roster whatsoever to keep. So he figured he could keep Derrick Henry, Tyler Boyd, and James Washington, which I'm still saying it's not good, but maybe that's the only possibility that would be a good trade.
So to me, this trade doesn't make sense even if you have literally no other players on your roster.
Well, I thought you said you have to keep 16.
No. Say my team has zero players on its roster and I borrowed players from other teams to trade for. It still wouldn't make sense. No. I can't find any universe that this makes sense.
I'm not saying it's a good trade. I'm just saying that's the only possibility that I can think of is that this guy had nobody else to keep and he thought he could get three players he could keep, you know?
So offered you Kamara and Westbrook for Henry, Boyd, and Washington?
No. This is a trade that happened that didn't involve me.
Well, maybe it's also collusion. Who the knows?
it's pretty sketchy.
And this is what pisses me off even worse. So I don't know if any, I know Jeremy plays in FFPC leagues, but you'll see a trade offer gets withdrawn. if another trade goes through, you know, that involves a player that you were offered or whatever. So first I wake up and unfortunately, it's unfortunate for me. I slept too late. I slept till 11 o'clock. If I didn't, this wouldn't have happened. So I see a trade offer. He offered me Alvin Kamara. I wasn't even getting Day-Day Westbrook. It was in the same league, same guy. He offered me Alvin Kamara for Phillip Lindsay and Brandon Cooks. I was like, oh, mother right, I'm in, accept.
Oh.
And then my eye looks up and I see trade withdrawn. And I'm like, oh, you mother. And then I look a little further and I see that trade was executed. And I was like, so let me get this straight. For me, you wanted a wide receiver, one, high two, low one, and running back two. And you just basically took promises and dreams from the other guy. Like you traded. You traded Alvin Kamara for hopes and dreams.
Listen, that's the kind of thing where I wouldn't want to sleep in anymore after that. I'd want to make sure.
I wouldn't.
So here's the thing. I immediately started thinking of a way to create some kind of app a trade without you reviewing it. It just goes, no, I don't care if Shane's sleeping. I got to accept this. Like, he'll be happy. Trust me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not good at coding. So if anybody's good at computer coding and stuff, get at me.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That would be an app where when a trade is so lopsided, the app knows to accept it right away.
Yeah, accept automatically on your behalf. Punch in a few settings.
Anyone thinking about stealing my deal, I have already patented, whatever. However you say it, I went on the patent website. I did that, so don't try to steal my shit.
It's kind of like those people I was just going to say, it's kind of like those people that created that app that snipes people on eBay or something. What were you going to say, Jeremy?
That's great.
Jeremy,
no, I wanted to say, when you talk in your mic, Shane, I can't see your face anymore. I just see like the side of it because you go in so, I don't know, you go in so close or something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, look, he goes away. Yeah, it's just his head.
With that trade, we don't even have to go any further than that was totally lopsided. But I mean, at least he got Henry Boyd in Washington. It's not like he traded for junk, but why are you trading the running back four this year and whatever he was last year? He was at the top two, what, a running back one. Why are you trading that guy for these three pieces in a league where you only keep 16? It's hard to pare down to 16 for most people.
Well, that's the thing. I think what he's saying is there is no way to come up. There's no way to come up with an answer. So you have to come up with whatever you think.
On his side, he's like, you know, the guy that's trading away Kamara is like, yeah, you know what? I need to even this up a little bit. Here's a wide receiver too.
Yeah, the Dede Westbrook part of it is also questionable. But again, maybe it's some kind of collusion thing. So before
this might actually spawn a whole new hashtag, unconscionable, hashtag unconscionable trade.
Well, before we go into our final trades here, we do have to hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Oh, okay. Well, the Scouting Academy. Go ahead and save yourself some money. Go on the Dynasty Football Factory website. There's a cool little promo thing for the Scouting Academy. You hit that, John, and the link will lead you to a place where you can save $50 just for hitting a link. I mean, you can't beat that. Scouting Academy's got, you know, a great course. Really wish I could go, but, you know, my wife's back in school. Unfortunately, I can't. Maybe next year, right? Maybe we'll go to maybe me and you can split a course. You think they'd notice?
That'd be cool, man. We'll be one person. Yeah, we'll both get the education. We'll just use the same email and the same. Exactly. We could do that. Let's do it.
Like, I'm thinking you have to Skype or something, but we're just the same guy would Skype every time. That's all. Shit, I hope they don't listen to this. Then they're going to know our plan.
We'll get one of the ex-president masks and we'll always wear that when we Skype. We'll just have the same one.
No, that won't be creepy at all.
We'll just nod and smile and we'll never use our real voice. We'll disguise it like they're doing anonymous.
Just a little behind the scenes for our fans. Michael's actually, I think, had a heart attack because he's gone for a really long time.
I did not have a heart attack. Shut up. I've been sick, so I had to turn the air conditioning down. Shut up. So what were you just talking about?
Because that would have been awkward, because then you would have had the file. I don't know how we would have gotten it to publish. Yeah.
So what did I miss while I went out of the room for a minute?
Just talking about how Jeremy and I would like to go to the Scouting Academy, and maybe we'll just split the course next year together. and they don't find out.
Oh, that sounds like great. I think that would be cool.
But you know what?
What?
Trade alert.
Who? Hey, what's the trade alert?
Okay, so this is in our listener league, and it involves two of my favorite people, me and the Outhouse, good friend of the show, host of the Trade Addicts podcast, great show. So my man, I traded him Kirk Cousins and the 108 for, and obviously this is a super flex league because it's our listener league, so for Josh Rosen and Alshon Jeffrey.
Wow, that's a lot of moving parts.
So I actually think that I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than the 108.
Yeah, you would.
I mean, I used to really.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm not big on Alshon Jeffrey anyway.
That's my point. Yeah.
I'd rather have the 108 than him. And then Kirk Cousins, Josh Rosen. Whatever. I'll take Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. So, hey, way to go, Russ. Good trade.
Good job, Russ. No, Shane did okay, too, because he loves Jeffrey. Do you like the Eagles, too, Shane? Is that part of the reason?
I do like the Eagles. Yeah. I also like Rosen. I like, and you know, the more I looked into Cliff Kingsbury, because I'm actually working on an article for Fantasy Pros right now, looking at some of the coaches, and you know, so I went pretty in depth looking at his time at Texas Tech, and one of the things he did there was protect the quarterback. I think his quarterbacks were sacked something like 4%, less than 4%, less than on 4% of dropbacks, however you say that in English. So the amount of times they drop back, they were only sacked 4% of the time, which is like fifth lowest in the nation in college. And if you think about Texas Tech, they threw the ball upwards of, you know, 40 times a game. And Rosen just got his ass kicked last year, man. That kid was sacked 45 times.
Yeah, that Holy team was shit. Garbage, man, for sure.
So, well, yeah, just looking into Kingsbury, I'm starting to feel a little better about Rosen's prospects. I know, you know, that he's just really got Christian Kirk and David Johnson right now. So they are going to have to fill in some pieces. But I like his long-term prospects.
Oh, hell yeah. He's only 21 years old. He's not even going to be 22 until next month, February. Mickens played his first – his rookie year while he was 21 the whole time. I mean, that's amazing. He's a starting quarterback. You're going to have this guy – hell, Kirk Cousins is 9 years older. So you can play Josh Rosen for the next 9 years on a real dynasty team before he's as old as Kirk Cousins is.
Okay, but the only thing I will say, and it goes back to last week again, is I get that whole thing about, oh, yeah, you can have Josh Rosen for the next 9 years. But what if it takes – 9 years before Josh Rosen is any good. I mean,
I don't think it'll take that long.
9 years,
we'll see in the next 2 years.
I'm just saying, I'm not a fan of Alshon Jeffrey, and
I can understand not liking Alshon because I mean, oh wait, no, I got nothing. Like Alshon.
That was awesome. You know, so now
trade.
Well, I was just gonna say, please tell us the other trade because I have a feeling that Jeremy and I will be the same answer as this one.
Oh, okay. So Alex, I'm not even trying to pronounce his name. He gave up Allen Robinson and a 2020 first to DFF underscore Shane. Really good looking guy, that DFF underscore Shane, for Corey Davis and Kyle Rudolph.
Listen, I'm sorry. Alex was sending me a whole bunch of offers that day, and we kept going back and forth, and we declined, and I declined, and he declined, and blah, blah, blah. But then you did this trade with him, and then I was like, fuck, I would have traded Shane. I would have gave you more for Corey Davis and Kyle Rudolph. I mean, especially in this league. It's a 16-team league. Not only do you have to start two running backs, but you have to start two tight ends. And I would much rather have Corey Davis than Allen Robinson, and a 2020 first. You have a whole year to get that back
real quick about our league settings. We only have to start one tight end. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Do we? I thought that was one of the ones we had to start too. Okay, well, one tight end, but still,
I just have 12 because it was a position I could take advantage
of. Is that what it was? Because I knew you had a bunch, but still, even starting one, I'd rather have the Corey Davis, Kyle Rudolph side. Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't fault Shane for making the trade. I just won't trade for 2020 picks. I'll trade them away. It's just too far out. Corey Davis, I don't know if he's going to be better than Allen Robinson. I think he is. I'm not a big Allen Robinson guy anyways, but yeah, I like what Shane gave away better just, you know, in a vacuum. So looking at our league, I don't even know if it matters. I just, 2020 is too far out, and I like Davis and Rudolph for your fantasy team, like in the near future. Come on, man. What? So you were that hard up for Allen Robinson? I saw your article, Allen Robinson, you know, buy him. But you said, you know, buy him while his value's low. You feel like Corey Davis, the 1.01, just 2 years back, was maybe giving up too much? No? I don't know, man.
We'll see.
Let me ask you something, Shane. That day when that trade happened, it was after you and I had gone back and forth with the AB thing. Would you have taken the 107 for Corey Davis?
107 and what?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I don't know. Would you just have taken the 107? Well, because you took Allen Robinson at a 2020 first. So, I mean,
basically two firsts.
You think Allen Robinson is worth a first round pick? And you a 2020 for no, I don't think Allen Robinson's worth a first round pick.
Do you own Allen Robinson anywhere?
I did, but I traded him away.
For second rounders?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't say I traded him for second rounders. I actually traded him. I don't remember exactly, but I got a first round pick and a player. But that doesn't mean I think he's worth that.
Dude, Allen Robinson is worth a first round.
Jeremy, pick. Is he worth a first round pick?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean. honestly, I don't think he is. I mean, maybe the 112. I don't know, man.
This is a 16 team league. So. What about the 116? I really wish people could see Shane's face.
I might give the 112 for Allen Robinson because he's actually a starting wide receiver on the Chicago Bears. So in keeping in tune with how I normally do things, I'd probably do that. But I just don't understand the fervor for him all of a sudden. I mean, if you can get him at a value, sure. And that's what I like about Shane. If Shane likes a player, he's not afraid to give up assets to get that player because he feels like getting that player, he wins. About, oh, what's the value going to become next week for the what I'm giving away? I want this guy. I want him on my team. And so I admire that. Maybe he's right. I just don't value Allen Robinson as much as Shane.
Yeah, and Shane, I'm not saying that you're wrong. You ask us our opinion of what we think. And I agree with you, Jeremy. I've always said, get the guys you want. Trade whatever you have to trade to get who you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But Shane, what you're asking us is if we would do that trade, and we said no. That's all.
I'm just more stuck on the neither of you folks believe in Allen Robinson's worth the first round pick. I got to pull that.
Okay.
How many games did he miss last year?
Three.
Pull it. That's fine with me.
Based on how I normally do things with trading, giving up a first round pick for Allen Robinson, I can't fault someone for doing that because I encourage people to trade away picks to get something tangible. A starting wide receiver, maybe the number one wide receiver on a team, is worth more than a first round pick. But I'm biased against Allen Robinson, thinking that he's like a wide receiver two kind of guy, and I don't really want to give up that much because I'm biased against him already. And what he did with that pick is fine. So, you know, it's probably a wash. What's coming into play is my feelings about Allen Robinson.
Well, and again, it could be, I mean, Shane, you could be completely right and he could be something next year, but when you pull up his stats for this year, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games where he was under double digits, points. He's got a 9, a 6,
was a
an
lot
8.
Better last year with a quarterback who didn't have an arm.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. So Allen Robinson, it's just we have a reason to not like him, but you also have a reason to like him. So that's fine. I just like the other side of the trade better. That's all.
Yeah, and Shane wrote an article about it too. A good article about Allen Robinson. Everybody ought to check out on Dynasty Football Factory and read that, so you can see some of his rationale for going after Allen Robinson. The price is probably never going to be lower.
Yeah, you know, I will admit to this, though, man. When I start writing articles about someone and I find things that I like, then I'm like, oh, I think I want this player.
And that's cool. I mean, listen, all of this should be fun. You should be having fun watching these games and having the players you want. So get the players you want, even if you have to overpay. That's all you got to do, you know? And the
I'm going to offer, Michael.
What?
I'm going to offer you Carson Wentz for Josh Allen in a first.
And you already offered me that, and I turned it down last time you sent it to me, too.
Oh, well, then I'm not going to send that to you.
Okay.
So you offered him what? You were giving Carson Wentz away.
For Josh Allen and the 107. That's what he sent me the other day, and I turned him down.
Not good enough for him. Madman, I don't even attempt to trade with Jeremy because I know we are so off. Like there's no purpose to do it because we don't see eye to eye on too many things. Like we'll see eye to eye on certain players, but outside of those players, like there's no
It's funny, Shane. I really do. I honestly love getting trade offers from you because we have done a few trades, you know, and we can go back and forth and work it out. Sometimes we can't, sometimes we can. I love that.
But we have to look into it because I don't know if Shane and I have ever successfully pulled off a trade in any league.
He's shaking his head. I know, Jeremy, you and I have gone back and forth a couple times and it didn't work out, but we did do one or two trades. I know we have, but you're right. I'm not sure that you two guys.
It's funny because you and I, Sykes, we share kind of the same philosophies for building teams and, you know, rebuilding teams. So we run into doing things the same way and agreeing a lot. I get it.
Right.
So us as trade partners doesn't seem as likely as Shane and I, because Shane and me, we're going to do things a little different. It's almost set up perfectly for Shane and me to trade.
I know.
So why haven't we done it?
I think there's just a point you get to where you're just so you think so differently from someone else.
I think it's been a value. It's been a value thing. How we value
this guy. I love this guy, but it doesn't typically go like that. So that's it for today's show.
That's what I was just about to say to you. We do have a couple other things to do, but they're going to be on the Patreon show. So, Jane, Shane. Did I call
Jeremy
you Jane?
Jane.
So listen, thanks everybody for listening. Go check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. Go check out our Twitter handle at DynastyTradesHQ. Check out, email us at DynastyTradesHQpod@gmail.com. Give us a rate and review on iTunes. Check out our store.
Oh, look what I'm wearing.
Yeah, I had it on a little while ago, but I changed before the show. Oh, shit. Both of you guys are wearing it. For the Patreon, I'll go change my shirt. But you guys are both wearing the shirts.
I've got my DynastyTradesHQ hoodie on.
And looking good, my man. Looking good.
Yeah, so check out the store at dthq.storeenvy.com. Yeah, Jeremy, I love that three-quarter sleeve shirt. I was wearing it earlier, but I changed before the show tonight.
I wear mine all the time around the house, especially now that it's wintertime. I don't have the damn thing worn out and have to buy a new one.
And then the other
thing. Pajamas, dude.
Oh, man, wintertime. That killed me in North Carolina.
Become a patron so you can get the uncensored. Yeah. So you can get the uncensored. Become a patron today so you can listen to the uncensored episodes where Michael says some of the most disgusting things that have ever come out of anyone's mouth ever. Here's like scene in The Exorcist when she's yelling at the priest. That's Michael on the patron episodes, man. It's out there.
It definitely feels that
shower
way.
After a couple of them.
It definitely feels that way. And Jeremy, do you want to tell everybody about Fantasy Champs? I mean, now that the season's over and people have won stuff, go over there and check out Fantasy Champs.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not too late to get a trophy or a belt or even a ring for your champion, your title winner in your league. 10% off of your order if you use our code DynastyTradesHQ10. DynastyTradesHQ10, that's at fantasychamps.com. Let us know if you need the information, but we can save you 10% off. You know, in our contracts league, the winner got a ring. I've won trophies. I've seen a lot of belts exchanged, but I've never been in a league where a ring was won. That's kind of cool. It comes in a case.
Yeah.
That's neat. I didn't win it, of course. Neither did you guys. But someone got a ring.
Wait a second. You did win the Listener League.
No. The Contracts League, though. Yeah.
The Contract League.
Yeah, we were talking about getting a belt for the Listener League. I don't know if we're going to do that. We should, you know, 10% off. We should get a belt for me and just do it every year for everybody.
Yeah, I got four belts this year. I got too many belts, and I'm little, like you guys say.
You're like a little WWE wrestler with all your belts.
Exactly. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Go check out the Patreon account. We got this show, and we got a special trade show on the Patreon. So we will talk to you guys next week. We got a bunch of cool guests coming up, too, so check that out.
Oh, this offseason's going to be lit, guys. Stick around. It's going to be great.
Shane?
Yeah, good night.
Allen Robinson rules.